Okay, so I am talking today with Loretta Gasper. She's a friend of mine, someone who's become a friend, and she started out as a client. I guess, Loretta, we've been working together for, what, maybe 5 years or so? I think I added that correctly the other day.
It's about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah. So it's great to have you. Thanks for joining me today and talking with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
So why don't you maybe tell us, I was going to introduce you and like give you everyone your background and all that, but I know I'm not going to do it justice. So maybe start by telling us a little bit about yourself, your background, and then what you do today.
Sure. I have been about 30 years now. I've been working in communications, which is from multifaceted. I started out in journalism after college. I'm from Florida. And I worked at the Wall Street Journal Spot News Desk in Houston for about 5 years, covering the oil industry and covering a lot of publicly traded companies in the Southwest. Then I transitioned into media relations or public relations in the technology industry, and lived in Florida for a while and then moved to Atlanta with various companies that I've worked with. Probably about 20 years experience I have in the corporate communications, public relations, media relations field. Worked at many marketing departments. I've worked for myself for 9 years, ran my own business, then went back to corporate America for corporate communications and served as a director there for a software company. And also covered investor relations and employee communications in my last position. So I've seen probably multifaceted parts of communications as it relates to marketing and as it relates to the capital markets.
And not just from the corporate side, too, but then also from the writer side of the house and the journalist side.
Right. The best part about one thing about the journalism background that I got from the Wall Street Journal was it not just hones your skills in writing, but it hones your skills in other things that you can take with you into marketing. And one of it is just deadlines, being able to perform well under a really tight deadline. Mm-hmm. And also just getting, you know, an acumen about business, about knowledge, about different topics. You have no idea what it is, but doing research and being able to understand complex topics and being able to write about it and make it understandable for the average reader.
That is a great skill to have, and a lot of people don't have that. They're great writers, but, you know, they don't have that context. So that's a good point. So, you know, let's kind of switch gears then into the focusing on the corporate side of things, because what I really want to do is I want to give folks a good flavor for what it's like to be a PR director, marketing communications manager, you know, just a corporate communications executive. What's a typical day like for you?
Well, it's I'll just put it in the context of working for a software company and working for a publicly traded company, which I have done for several years. The typical day would be, first and foremost, being in corporate communications. You've got two sides of the corporation that you have to look at. You look at it from the most important side for the CEO is looking at from the capital market side, how your stock is doing, the communications you have to your business investors. And then the second side is the communications to the customer and how you're working with product marketing and how you're working with the marketing department. So my typical thing was always looking at what the stock price is, what the opening price is, you know, handling investor calls, and at the same time juggling working with marketing and a myriad of projects that we would have, ranging from anything to a special event, a trade show, a product launch, to just day-to-day media relations for their products.
So never a dull moment, basically.
No, and that's one of the main things is, especially with most technology companies today, especially medium-sized and startups, and especially in the Atlanta market, you're going to find that many communication departments are very shorthanded. They are not fully staffed. It's a lot of it's the austerity of the economy, of just the sign of the times and the sign of the technology industry right now. And as a result, you're going to have to, and I had to, rely on a lot of freelance writers, a lot of agencies, a lot of media relations professionals. You have to rely on a lot of practitioners outside the corporation because you cannot hire because of hiring freezes and being shorthanded. And that's how our relationship started, because of the outside writing help that I needed, because of just the many products that we had and the many opportunities we had to submit thought leadership pieces, and we just didn't have the bandwidth to do it.
That's great to hear, because it's something that I'm constantly talking about, and I wonder if it falls on deaf ears. You know, this idea of, especially the last 5 years, corporate communications departments are really working with minimal staff.
Yes.
And would you say that, because I mean, I'm seeing it everywhere, not just in the Atlanta market. I'm
right.
Seeing it everywhere. And would you say that it's almost like the workload really hasn't gone down, but you have fewer people to get it done?
Yeah, it's you're expected to do more with less, and that's kind of like across the board in every profession right now. But it's especially acute with communications, because in parts of marketing, because that is usually it's a necessary evil that the corporation perceives. A lot of times they don't get the respect they deserve. This, you know, the salespeople always will blame marketing or communications for the problems that they can't make a sale. So you're being caught in all this stress and pressure that, oh, our sales are down, or our sales are sluggish. Oh, it must be our marketing. It must be our message isn't getting out there. Nothing is resonating with the customer. And so you're being pressured to do more. You're being pressured to think out of the box. You're being pressured to come up with more, you know, pieces, thought leadership pieces, or new campaigns and brochures and new social media campaigns. And as a result, internally, you cannot meet some of those deadlines. You can't meet some of those expectations without going outside. And in honestly, I think you get more creativity and people thinking out of the box when you go outside, beyond internal, because many times if you hire a full staff in communications or marketing to do all this writing and stuff, you're also listening to your own internal Kool-Aid, or so to speak. You need to know what, you know, the professionals you want to hire outside probably have worked for multiple clients, you know, different industries, and they probably see a lot of different things that are being done that actually could help. So one of the things I liked about the freelance writers like you that I've worked with is especially bringing something to the table of adding their own expertise on giving you kind of ideas on what to do with certain pieces, or being just proactive. I mean, delivering what, you know, the client wants, looking at what the specifications I have and taking those and executing on it, but also giving other ideas and thinking, well, you know, I've seen this done, or I did this for a client. That I think is valuable, and that's what I think marketing organizations and communications organizations look for in writers too, that kind of proactive expertise as well.
That's a great point, because it goes to points to the fact that it's not just about writing chops.
Mm-hmm.
It's about what you bring to the table, all those intangibles, right? All those experiences that you've had working with other clients that really you can't put a price on that.
No. And, you know, it depends what kind of client you have. Some clients just say, I just want this, and that's it. And they leave you out of the loop. You know, they don't tell you what happens after you've written it. But some clients do. They bring you in, and you're like a part of their staff, and they give you direction, and they also let you know, oh, our lead generation improved such and such percent when we had this white paper out, or this thought leadership piece that was published in Food Engineering Magazine generated this amount, or the blogs that we're having written are starting to generate leads. That's important if it's possible to work with the client to kind of garner this kind of information of what happens after you deliver the piece as well, because I think that you can use going forward into your next client or even promoting yourself on what kind of lead generation type of writing campaigns you've done, and giving ideas for your prospective client on what they could do.
That's a great point. That's a great point. That feedback is invaluable. Now, I have that actually leads me to another question, which is this experience that you're talking about, what you bring to the table as an outside writer, how important do you think it is that it came from actual freelance clients versus other experiences working as an employee, you know, in a variety of different companies within your industry or your sector?
You mean comparing a freelance writer to somebody who's an internal staff person?
Well, no, because here's what I'm getting at. I think that what you just mentioned could come from either your experience as a freelance writer or maybe you're just now starting to freelance, but you have 15 years experience in a variety of different, you know, companies and industries.
Yes.
And, you know, a lot of writers in that situation devalue what they, you know, that experience just because it wasn't as a freelancer.
Right.
It was as an employee. But, you know, I'm wondering from your perspective, how important is it that that experience came as a freelancer versus, you know, an employee?
I think both adds a lot to the table, but I also, having that marketing or that corporate experience that the freelancer can bring to the table as well is very important. It just makes them a more well-rounded writer and more well-rounded when they're doing campaigns or doing projects for their prospective clients. I think that's real important. A freelance writer brings a lot of advantages of the different clients they have, but their past experiences in corporate roles and marketing roles, that's important too. I think it gives you a well-rounded background. It gives you a good knowledge base of a variety of parts of corporations. But also, you kind of get an idea how corporations are run, and that's very valuable too.
Okay. So, you know, let's go back to the challenges that you mentioned earlier in terms of, you know, your typical day. Considering that, what do you look for in a freelance writer? And you've kind of hinted at some of this already, but any other things that you can think of?
Well, I mean, obviously the first one is to be a good writer, and that you don't always get that sometimes, but, I mean, that's obviously important. You just want a writer that flows and sometimes is an interesting writer, you know, not just a – you don't want academic. You want somebody that, at least in the communications field when you're trying to publish in magazines, you want somebody that has enticing writing, sometimes provocative writing, but interesting writing skills and that flows. But deadlines are very important in various ways. And sometimes in marketing you can get away with a couple of loose deadlines, and if you miss it by a week, it's not going to be critical. But sometimes in corporate communications it is critical to have your deadline when you say it is, because the editor is expecting a thought leadership piece and they give you a deadline and they can't – they're holding a space in the publication for that article. So there's no wiggle room there. So making deadlines is very, very important, especially if you're working with a corporate communications staff. Accuracy is real important, you know, being able – and I was – a lot of the good writers have sourcing and footnotes, everything, and there's a lot of writers that don't do that, but I find that very important. I find writers that do the footnotes and source everything that they write, I think, is an added plus. It just gives me security and peace of mind that when I deliver this to an editor that it's been sourced thoroughly. So that I look for, especially that the writers do source their information and research. Another thing that I think is important with a freelance writer today for corporate communications departments today is that they need to have good interviewing skills. And sometimes, you know, that takes years of honing, but you do need good interview skills, because I'll be honest, most corporations have their thought leaders some are actual thought leaders and very knowledgeable, and some may not be. And some may be not a good interview. And you, to get the maximum content, to get the maximum information, sometimes you have to word things differently. You have to follow up on what they say. You really have to keep asking the same question in two or three different ways to get more information out of this person. And that's very difficult. That's the most challenging part, I think, for not just for me, when I'm, because I'm usually with the freelance writer setting up the interview, is getting a good thought leader and who can give a wealth of information. And the writer also has to do his own research, because most of the time, a lot of the good stuff you're going to have to research yourself, because the thought leader will not have everything. A lot of them are talking extemporaneously. They have very short, limited time to give you. And then they probably haven't done enough research, too, if it's, especially if it's one of those topics that are timely and it's in the news. So you have to be very good about doing your own research and trying to maximize the interviews that you have with the thought leader that you're interviewing.
It's a good point. You brought up several skills that, you know, have nothing to do with writing directly, but are equally as important. And yeah, I agree with you, too. As a writer, those interview skills are really key, and it's something I've tried to work on for years. It's very difficult, especially when you have someone who's kind of all over the place, right?
Exactly, and I know you've interviewed.
We've worked with people like that, haven't we?
Yes, I know you've interviewed for those. And many times the writer sometimes has to do their own research, and most of the content might have little to do with what came out of the mouth of that interview, because those people, for whatever reason, those leaders are just distracted. They weren't well prepared, or they didn't have the knowledge base to really to give you that elaboration of a topic. So that's very difficult and very challenging. And even the best writers, if you don't have the good content, you're not going to have the meat that you need to publish in a magazine, and because that's what they're looking for. They're looking for really detailed content and hyperbole, and no matter how beautiful the writing is, if it doesn't have the content, it won't get published.
Mm-hmm. True, very true. So, all right, so let's switch gears a little bit, and now let's talk about freelancers and, you know, you getting approached by different freelance writers. And I'm curious, I've never asked you this question, but on average, in a given year, how many times do you get approached by a freelance writer who's soliciting your business?
Well, I know back in, it was probably around between 2007 and through 2010, probably five or six times a year, and it was mostly through email pitches.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I've ever gotten cold calls. Maybe a couple, but very few. It's mostly email pitches. And then that is kind of dwindled down to maybe a couple of times a year. But it's mostly through email pitches, and I get, you know, emails and talking about a little bit of background of the writer. And occasionally they'll send me ahead of time some of their work that they've done, some of their articles. Some freelance writers I've known that are from, they used to be reporters for trade magazines. And as you know, the publishing industry has changed dramatically.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of publications have gone out of business. All these great writers that used to write for these publications are now looking for jobs or are freelancing on their own. So I used to get a lot of those freelance writers from those publications reaching out to me. And the ones that stuck out that I actually would put in my folder that I would need for, you know, work are the ones that specifically had the experience, you know, that was in my industry, because they actually, you wouldn't have to educate them on manufacturing in a food plant. They knew about it. They knew very intimately, you know, how a process manufacturer does business, and that I would look for.
Yeah, that's a great point, because I kind of hammer that specialization,
mm-hmm.
You know, or target market type message many times. But by doing that, I've also noticed that it's created a little bit of confusion, because many people feel that they need to specialize or to narrow down their target market right from the very beginning. And my recommendation is, listen, if it's not extremely obvious to you, because you have a really diverse background, then just start as a generalist. But then as you start working your way up.
Yes, I agree with that.
Right? Because if you don't really have a good grasp for where you're really going to make your mark, then it's really you just guessing.
No, I absolutely agree. I think it's good to have generalists and do as much in different industries as possible. And then I think you find your niche where your contacts are. And then when you're doing proactive campaigns to get new clients, I mean, this is just my opinion, but I think you do leverage the work you've done in that niche and branch out from there. But I think you should stay as diverse as possible, you know, in the beginning of your career for sure.
Yeah. No, that's actually exactly what I recommend. And, you know, that just start leverage as much as you can on outbound campaigns, but then stay open to possibilities. Because if you get a referral from someone, it's a great opportunity. Well, first of all, they're coming to you, which changes the whole dynamic. Because they're already kind of pre-sold. You've been recommended.
Exactly. So. I think a good writer can write anything. I honestly do. I learned that when I worked for the Wall Street Journal. I had a cover for everything from oil to, you know, funeral home operators. I mean, obviously, I have no expertise in any one particular area, but you learn to write through research, and it maybe takes you longer in certain industries to write something, and it takes more research. But I think a good writer can write about anything.
Mm-hmm. True. So let's. My final question is this, and it's kind of a broad question, but what advice would you give a freelance writer who already know how to write well, but they're trying to either launch or relaunch a freelance business, so that they got the fundamentals, but, you know, launching is a whole different thing.
I would definitely focus right now. It just seems like the new writing opportunities in corporations. The corporations right now especially, the bandwidth is very tight. They don't have the resources to write, but especially in the area of social media. Companies just don't have the time to write blogs. Companies don't have the time to come up with even blog ideas. And I think if you can't, I think that's the whole part of being proactive and pitching your business and showing your diversity is all good. But I also think you need, in your proactive pitching out to prospects, talk about your social marketing skills as well. And if you're a good blog writer and what blogs you've written and things like that, because most of the opportunities I found after thought leadership pieces was in blogs, because our thought leaders and the companies did not have time to write their blogs. They would commit to it and say, oh, yeah, I can write a blog once a week. And maybe they're not only 250 words, but they still have to be filled with some content and filled with some news kind of angle. And that's where our executives and product managers had a hard time. They just didn't have the resources, or they didn't have the time to spend on blogging. And I think that's important. I think really emphasize your social media writing skills when you're
specifically blogging, because I think when a lot of people hear social media, they think, oh, that's like taking over their Facebook account, Twitter account.
No, I think
not that. You're talking about still thought leadership, but via a blog.
Yeah.
Versus publications in print, or articles in print publications, I should say.
Now, I think a freelancer should go where there's opportunity that they know, but they should always pitch new opportunities for the client. Like, if all they want you to do is a brochure, but you also should emphasize what other, you know, type of projects you can do, and emphasize about the social media area, and do your research. Talk about the lead generation a blog can spawn. Talk about what you did before with the previous client, and talk about the lead generation they achieved with certain blogs, if you know that, if you know those type of metrics, or if you know what your client has told you about it. So I think blogging can create a lot of new revenue opportunities for freelance writers.
What do you think of this idea of, because I think most of what you're talking about there is you already have your foot in the door, but for mm-hmm. someone you're trying to pitch, you're prospecting, what's your thought on, you know, just like really quick, very targeted and relevant email pitches with some ideas and doing it every once in a while, not being a pest? How do you like that, being a corporate marketer? Do you like that approach?
Yeah, I do a lot. I mean, I do. When somebody gives me ideas and shows me ideas, and if there's some like content, and if they have metrics, even better. But if they have something to show me of what they previously did or what can be done for the business, and if you did your research and you even made it more personalized and say, oh, your enterprise software company is in a crowded market space, but look at what you could do here and focus on this topic. Sometimes that might be a little difficult because it's hard to see where a company is going with their business. And almost all companies on their website, you look at their website and you can't really tell what their focus is sometimes. But that might be difficult. But to at least pitch other new ideas that you've done in the past or expertise that you have that can go beyond your traditional writing projects and just throwing out ideas on what you could do. Oh, it's the second half of the year. That's your fourth quarter push. Here are some ideas that do not take very much time or are affordable ideas and that we can do for you.
You know, my take on that, and that's an approach I really like and promote. My take is that there's so few other freelancers pitching that way. Of course, you got to do it very professionally, and you have to do your homework. But there's so few that are doing it like that that I think you kind of stand out.
You do, and what you just said, if you can do a little bit of research, and don't make it like it's a generic email blast, even though it may be. If you could tweak it for certain prospects that you know and certain different categories, even better, because then the potential prospect will look at it and think that it's not just a generic email blast, that it was more tailored for them. So, yeah, I definitely think that. It may take a little time and maybe a little research, but I think it's real important to do that.
That's great. It's a great thought, great idea. Any other parting thoughts or ideas or comments?
You know, I think it's very difficult to launch any business. But I do think there is opportunity with good writers. There isn't a lot of good writing skills within most corporations right now. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are pretty good writers are just swamped and they're underwater with projects, with executing things. They're mainly shuffling paper and doing spreadsheets and justifying their budgets. So there is opportunity out there, and you just have to be proactive. Do some legwork, do some research, and leverage as many contacts or previous clients you've had and leverage them as much as possible.
Loretta, this has been invaluable information. I really appreciate you taking the time to share that with us.
Well, thanks. I hope it helps, and I've enjoyed the conversation as well.
Absolutely. You take care.
All right. Thank you.